From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Yesterday on the program, you caught part one of my interview with the New Deal's Darren Shearer. If you missed it, we discussed the band's early years, Darren's musical background, and he did a great Brownie impression. Today, we wrap up the interview with a discussion of today's live electronic acts, Pretty Lights, and the impending breakup of the New Deal. We've got some business to take care of at the top of the show. First of all, the closing of Sonar in Baltimore has some fans worried. Have no fear, the New Deal show has been moved to Bourbon Street Ballroom, and all tickets will be honored. You can breathe a sigh of relief. Secondly, the more astute listeners will notice the Unce Podcast has in fact expanded to 30 minutes. Yes, more show, more insights, more fun, and we'll be bringing sponsors on board. Today's show is brought to you by Simplify Recordings, bringing you all things bass music, dubstep, drum and bass, glitch, and drum step. Check out the latest release from Chicago's Elfkowitz, Psychedelic Dropout, as well as the new EP from Phrenic, available now at simplifyrecordings.com. All right, let's get to the interview with Darren Shearer of The New Deal. By the time Receiver comes out in 2001, you've nailed that progressive house sound, but at no point did you ever say, oh, here's, you know, this type of electronic music, let's try and do this, or can we do this, or bring in this element. It just happened absolutely naturally.
Yeah, it really did. Like, I think the only conversation we probably had was right at the beginning when we began, like when we pulled out of this Bohemian Cafe gig, we're like, let's begin to like take all these electronic things and let's just go totally in that direction. You know, and at that point it was, you know, I was talking to the guys the other day, like, I remember rolling into like places and we would play and people would walk to the front and their jaws would be dropped because they never heard anyone try to emulate electronic music live. Like, it just, It didn't make sense to them. It totally didn't make sense to them. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, what is this? You know what I mean? And now, and we were talking too, is like now when the festivals we play, I would say 80%, like what, 80% of the acts have electronic elements to them now?
Sure. I mean, during those early years, who could you look to and say, oh, we want to do that? How many other acts out there were you aware of who were pushing that live DJ sound back in the, I guess it was the late 90s? It seemed like instrumentalists and DJs were just on opposite sides of this huge gulf. Unlike what you're saying today, there's all sorts of crossovers. You know, I would say 80 to 90% if you're at a jam festival, and even, you know, in sort of the indie rock scene, that's all it is taking produced sounds and synth work and fusing it into the rock aesthetic.
Totally. And that's the difference between the New Deal and, I believe, like even bands like Sound Tribe or Disco Biscuits and Lotus and stuff, is that I always felt that like Lotus, Sound Tribe, those bands, they came from a live music thing and they incorporated electronic music into it. Whereas I really feel like the New Deal came right from electronic music and wanted to incorporate live into electronic music. And that we really had a very, very passionate and like sort of uncompromising, you know, approach or uncompromising viewpoint of what we were doing in regards to like achieving that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did help the fact that we were not, you know, we don't have a guitar player. And so because the second you added a guitar player, it does take away the electronic-y-ness of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It does. It just does naturally. And I love playing with it. Like, you know, we do like Omega Moves, Brendan Bayless. We do Join with Tommy Hamilton. And obviously I play in Conspirator now and it's like totally like, you know, Machete is like the man.
But, right.
But as far as, and dubstep and electro has gotten a bit more rocky. Like you look at like bands like Justice and even Deadmau5 and stuff like that. It has become more rock based in the fact that it's not like the clean, like, you know, Euro house of yesteryear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's almost like they want to add that organic element or that sort of, you know, there's some sort of improvisational human element to it. And they're, you know, when you're coming from a strictly DJ standpoint, go to the guitar to accomplish that.
It's true. And also, too, it's like, they want to rock out. Like, I think the best example of that would be like Prodigy. You know what I mean? Prodigy was like, I remember when they came out, like Firestarter and stuff like that, people were like, that was harsh, harsh music in comparison to what was happening then. Like,
people thought it was like metal almost.
Oh yeah, it was the heavy metal of electronic music. And you know, like those songs, like, you know, and he was definitely a pioneer, as was Daft Punk, you know what I mean? And you know, everyone, you know, Deadmau5 is awesome. And Justice is awesome, but they all really kind of came from the school of Daft Punk. You know, like Daft Punk was really like one of the first groups to use something called sidechaining, where you basically have the kick drum pull, like every time you hit the kick drum, it pulls, it compresses the whole mix. Mm-hmm. So it has this kind of like, kind of sound. I don't know how the hell that will sound on a podcast, but like it pulls the whole mix down. And you first heard that kind of, that in a mainstream song on that Celebrate, you know, One More Time Daft Punk song. And yeah, and that's become a staple in every single pop song. Like, listen to like Katy Perry, listen to Lady Gaga, listen to Britney Spears, listen to The Killers. They all do that now. And really what it gets down to, again, it all comes back to, is like the heartbeat, the African, you know, the African drum pulse, and that really accentuates that. It gives this kind of like, it gives this undulation that happens in this music, in music that can be very harsh and unundulating, like just very much in your face the whole time. And that's like a little trick that's been used to kind of create a nice bounce.
Genome from the latest Live New Deal album, last year's Live in Toronto.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wonder, what is your relationship to the four on the floor beat? I know it mimics the heartbeat, and I mean, obviously you've built a pretty sturdy career around it, but as a drummer myself, I've always found myself wanting to maybe do something more, change it up, and certainly it's the most tiring beat, but you've just devoted a great deal of time to adding flavor and human emotion to what is essentially the replication of a drum machine beat. I mean, is that what you're going for?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. You know, you can look at B.B. King's comment of notes are expensive, spend them wisely. and then you can also, in the same regards, you can look at the idea that, like, every musical genre needs a clave, like needs a stable datum, something that you can rely on. Like, you're like, you know,
the foundational note.
Yeah. Like in like, you know, in bossa nova, it's like that that's their version of that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and in rock music, it's just like, you know, it's like, you just know, it's the straight you know, rock drum beat. In electronic music, for the most part, whether it's down tempo or up tempo or whatever, it's that four on the floor, you know what I mean? It's there, you always know. It's like, it's kind of like you know, it's our version of Cheers, you know what I mean? The bar, you know, like you always, you can always go there, and you always know, everyone always knows your name when you go there, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's terrible, terrible.
That's absolutely perfect. You can't hate on that analogy.
Okay, good. But that's pretty much how I feel about it. It's like, and what's cool about it is you can do so much around it, and there's nothing wrong. You're never wrong when you're playing quarter notes, you know what I mean? Four on the floor quarter notes, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And what's cool about it is it also enables bass player, keyboard player to do so much stuff around that. Like, you know, like Jamie will do like syncopation, basically two rhythms happening, you know, they can intertwine and work in synergy together. Right.
Yeah.
That Jamie does that all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you have the four on the floor, it's like, and now everyone does that. Like it's, you know, if you listen to Dave Guetta, like his tracks, every keyboard he has is syncopated. It's like off the rhythm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How can you do that? You can do that because you have that kick. They have that kick drum that's just plowing along. So,
and I guess that frees up Dan as well.
It totally frees up Dan, and Dan now too. If you listen to the bass lines now of like the new electro stuff, his bass lines are all syncopated too. It's not like, it's not that anymore. It's whatever. It's always, it's off the typical rhythm. And it just makes for a much bigger pocket, like groove pocket, and also a much, you can seem bigger than you are. We've always been a three-piece band. We've never relied on sequences, samples necessarily, or like, now I'm playing a drum pad, but like loops, like we don't really play loops. We don't really play off of like a sequence kind of thing. So mm-hmm. It's always been a fairly large job to fill out that much sonic space with three people. So syncopation has definitely been our friend. Jamie's been doing it from the beginning with his organ. He's always had a delay in his organ, and that's been a huge rhythmic component of the New Deal, is having that. And, yeah, it's great. It's like, I think it continues to be a mainstay in the music.
Thank you.
Back to the Middle from the New Deals, live at Portland and Guelph.
Well, unfortunately, the reason we're doing this, the reason we're talking today, is because the New Deal is beginning its last run of shows, its last summer tour. And before Wakarusa and Mountain Jam in early June, you've got four dates in your core U.S. region in early May, the Northeast, with shows in Richmond, Baltimore, Philly, New York. And with you on those four stops is the young Brooklyn duo Subswara. And Dhruva and Dave are drummers after your own heart, mixing produced beats with organic drumming as sort of a next level experience. Do you feel that you're sort of passing the torch in a way? This band that came out of pure electronic replication is now, influencing this next generation of players who are fusing that organic sound back into electronica, back into produced beats.
Well, you know what? I think it's hard to really pinpoint any given time where like it's either more organic or more not. Like I think in any genre, like right now, I think there is a lot of electro happening in electronic music versus rock, versus sort of like organic elements. Pretty Lights, I think just he's now not playing with Deitch anymore. I think it's just him. Mm-hmm. And I think we're kind of getting away from the idea that like, oh, there has to be live musicians there. Sometimes I love it when there's live musicians, and sometimes it's just loose and you just lose the real kind of like oomph of what electronic music can do. Yeah. But I really like what Subswara does. I like how they like kind of how they position their stuff on stage so you can kind of see like what
absolutely they're doing. It's tilted towards you.
Yeah. And that's awesome. You know what I mean? It's like, there's nothing like, I gotta tell you, like the whole, you know, I think the only dude who gets away with it, honestly, just because this shit is so badass, is Pretty Lights. Like the whole like crouched over, you know, now his setup is way more pimp because he's playing for like a lot more people, whatever. But the whole sort of like guy, you know, like hunched over his laptop, kind of trying to groove out a bit. It's like, been there, done that. Boring. Let's move on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Where's the interaction there? Like as I mentioned, Pretty Lights rocks it out, you know, and it's like, you know, because his stuff. And I think Pretty Lights, in my opinion, is the most important musical musical creative force to come to the electronic scene, the electronic like I don't want to say jam band scene, but like I think he's the most important thing to come forward in our genre in a sure. long, long, long time, and. The what he's been able to do with taking old and making new and not sounding like just a regurgitated Saint Germain record is pretty amazing. Like, and adding dubstep elements into it and all that kind of stuff. It's like, there's no one's better than him right now. I just don't, as far as production is concerned, I think he's just
sure.
the best. So, you know, he has some license there, but it's like, you know what? Like, you know, God bless Ableton Live and God bless all this stuff and cheap and you know, and now the fact that you can like have a whole studio in one MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, let's realize that like, you know, that people come to hear the liveness. They want to feel like there's like a humanity involved. You know what I mean?
And that's the inherent problem with a DJ. It's somebody sitting on stage behind a pile of technology twiddling knobs and dials. That's why the visual element has to be just ridiculous with bombs going off and 1,000 LEDs flashing. I mean, I imagine eventually there will have to be like cooking shows have another camera just on top of the chef so they could, you know, so the audience can see what they're doing and chopping this and adding that in. I imagine there'll be a camera positioned above DJ so you can see what file they're accessing in Ableton and which, you know, fader they're flipping and turning on this low frequency oscillator. That's got to come into the live show at some point.
Well, I don't know why everyone doesn't do that. Like, it's so cheap now to do that. And if you're only traveling like with like this one bag of electronics, and you could even easily have like a small projector and a couple, you know, little cameras. I remember seeing Fatboy Slim at Coachella, however many years ago, and we were playing there a bunch of years ago, and he had these little pencil cameras that were positioned throughout his rig, and he would like write little notes to the audience and like hold them up, and it was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, and in retrospect, I guess he had to write. Would he have had to write those
backwards or upside down?
No, I think I think that's just with if you're using like photo booth or whatever.
You're right.
Yeah, but I think that the idea here is that we're, you know, we do want like that's the thing. Like having, I think it'd be awesome. Like especially, you seen Elliot Lip play?
Yeah, I have. I've caught him before a couple of New Year's in Chicago.
Yeah, he's like he rocks Ableton. Like he plays his like controller like a Les Paul. You know what I mean? Like he plays it.
Yeah.
And he's just like tweaking it. And I was talking to him about it. He's like, yeah, I break these things all the time. Like I just have to keep on getting more of them. Like, cause he shakes it and like smashes it on the ground. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Literally. Like,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, that's what we want. You know what I mean? We don't, you know, that's the only problem with computers is that they're kind of delicate. You know what I mean? So it's like, and unfortunately, if you light your computer on fire in the middle of the show, you have no music whatsoever. So
Dave from Subsoir, who's got three drum pads around him and then his fragile little iPad too. When I saw him, I thought he was going to smash that thing to bits with his drumstick every time he's switching between instruments.
I know, and it's, you know, maybe they'll make a you know, an iPad like tough book, you know, version or something like that.
You're gonna have to patent that. You know that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe I'll. You could encase it in like, you know, Jello or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, you know what? It's like that's why I appreciate like Subsoir doing that. It's like, you know, I think they, where the hell they opened for us in New York City at the Highline Ballroom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that right off the bat. I was like, cool. You know, like this is not just sort of like, you know, again, the 21st century version of navel gazing musicians. It's like, no, they want to interact. They want to show people what they're doing. You know, there's that famous shot of Justice like DJing this big gig, and they're like, the guy's tweaking on like an Ableton controller, and there's nothing plugged into it. And I always wonder if it's a bit of a planted photo. Like, I'm wondering if those guys kind of knew, like, hey, let's take this thing, because it's so obvious. Like, you look at the back of the thing, and it's like
no cords, no cables.
You know, and hell, you know, I'd be tempted to do that. Like, when Deadmau5 plays, like in front of 100,000 people, is he really playing Ableton, or is he playing like pressing play? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. Like, shit.
You can't. You're Canadian. You would get deportated if you talk ill of Deadmau5.
It's true. It's true. And we also get deported if we lie, because we're Canadian.
That's true.
Yeah.
I understand that you've been working as our account executive in charge of Canadian e-currency solutions. I don't know if you've heard, but Meet.com is heading in an exciting new direction that's going to both satisfy the needs of our investors and bring a higher degree of efficiency to our customer service. I apologize for us meeting under these circumstances, but I'm calling to inform you that your position has not been identified as an integral part of our new marketing strategy, and as a result, has been eliminated effective immediately. Furthermore, my records show that you've been with us for a total of 357 days, thus making you, unfortunately, ineligible for our first year minimum severance package. I wish you well in your endeavors and thank you for your contribution to Meet.com.
That's Darren getting fired on exciting new direction from the New Deal's eponymous full-length debut. We'll be talking to you and Jamie and Dan again a couple more times this summer, but for the diehard fans who are heartbroken and need some sort of solace in this sad, dark world, is there a possibility of some New Deal shows maybe further down the road? You did take a one-year hiatus a few years back, and can we maybe expect to see some more appearances of The Join with Jamie? I'm just trying to find a measly little sunbeam here.
Like, kind of like we're breaking up, but is there any way that maybe once in a while we can kind of like, you know, have, you know, get together, have some beers?
Makeup sex. The makeup sex of the jam world.
Exactly. You know what? I don't know. I know that this is not a hiatus. This is not like you're like, oh, we're just going to go off. Like, we have definitely moved into like new realms and new kind of eras of each of our lives. And the nice thing is that there's no animosity, and that there's no, it's not like a big sort of tumultuous, you know, thing. It's just like, this is, we're encapsulating this era. of the media.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I would, and that's not even like a way to get more people to come to the shows this summer. You know what I mean? It really isn't. It just, it's the truth. Cause I don't want people to think that, oh yeah, we're going to come back. I don't know. Does it mean we're never going to do a show again? No, absolutely not. But I really don't know. I really don't know. I would come see us now because it, you never know. Maybe it won't ever happen again. You know,
you got laid off via answering machine. That message is repackaged in exciting new direction off of 2001's Receiver. At the time, you know, the band was in flux. Life was in flux for you. Maybe things were taking off. Is this just another exciting new direction for you? Do you have any plans? Do you have any musical desires that need fulfillment?
I'm looking, my fiance and I posted on Facebook the other day, I like hate the word fiance.
It sounds so pretentious, right?
Well, I said that on Facebook. I was like, is this like, can we come up with a bit of a, like less pretentious name other than fiance?
Super girlfriend.
Yeah, no. And I think, so what I'm adopting is the Ryan Stasek, my Beyonce Knowles. So this is my Beyonce Knowles. I think we're looking at a potential Los Angeles move at some point, and maybe going there for a while. So whatever happens there, I don't know. But there's nothing in concrete.
But you are still one of the best drummers out there right now. You will always be in demand. Darren Scheer, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you for having me, man. Right on.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Drew Grancelli and, of course, my guest, Darren Scheer. Tonight, the New Deal will be at Philly's Electric Factory. And remember, tomorrow night's show has been moved to Bourbon Street in Baltimore, and they'll wrap up the weekend at Terminal 5 in New York City. Those three dates will feature Ott and Subsuara. Then, you won't see the New Deal until early June at Mountain Jam and Wakarusa. Next week on the UNS podcast, another special two-part episode, this time with Derek Vincent Smith of Pretty Lights. This revelatory interview is packed with info on one of the biggest producers on the scene today. You don't want to miss it. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. You can still win tickets to Electric Forest Festival to catch one of the last New Deal shows, as well as a couple of big Eyodo dates in Chicago this weekend. Hurry, we are in the final stretch for those tickets for Saturday night only. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theuns.com. We'll catch you next week.